The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
Welcome aboard, everybody. You are listening to Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are a marina on the St. Croix River. We're located by road, 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. We do have slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 foot, so if you have a boat in that range, you're looking to get on the St. Croix, definitely give us a call. Our phone number is 651-439-2341. If you need to check us out on the web, wolfmarine.net. Give us an email if need be, info@wolfmarine.net. And I have here on my port side my co-host on the show here.
And that would be me, John Tetzlaff with Tetzlaff Yacht Sales, TetzlaffYachtSales.com. Our address is 575 Main Street North. You can contact me at 651-214-9463. And I'm going to spell my last name because it's not like Smith or Wolf.
W-O-L-F.
W-O-L-F. It's Tetzlaff, T-E-T-Z-L-A-F-F. That's two Fs, just like in Frank. And we have a great guest here today to talk about a part of the Mississippi River that needs some help. And her name is Riley Main. And how are you today, Riley? And again, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Super. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself and on the project?
Yeah, so I have been the executive director of the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance for a couple of years now. I started back in 2012 after completing my master's degree in public policy at the University of Minnesota. So I was focused on water resources, looking at the Minnesota River and how much sediment is coming downstream from the Minnesota River, which really is the big source of sediment for Lake Pepin. So that's kind of how I got connected to the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance, figuring out how do we reduce the amount of sediment that's coming into Lake Pepin every year.
Okay, and that was going to be one of my questions is why Lake Pepin and not go right to the source, the Minnesota River?
Yeah, so as an organization, we're really set up to be an advocate for changes upstream. We're the body of water that is essentially a collection point for a lot of the pollution from around the state. So when you're thinking about making upstream changes, if you can get the communities all around the lake invested to advocate for the health, that's a great way to put some social pressure both on the communities upstream and on the state to try and clean up the area.
Cool. And I do have to say that you are a celebrity. You were on Channel 5, a week or two ago?
Yep, about a week ago. We had a little report on boat groundings. There's been a record number of boat groundings in Lake Pepin this year because of all the sediment that's been filling in the lake.
Sure, and I think you were with one of my, this is going to be a first for me. I've never mentioned a competitor on the show before, but you were down there with Zach at Bill's Bay Marina, and he was on the show with you, I think.
Yeah, so we went out with Zach to kind of talk about our proposed restoration project on Lake Pepin, and he was filling us in about how many boat groundings there have been and where they happen on the lake and how our restoration project might try to improve boat safety as one component of it.
Oh, that's cool. And Zach's a good guy. I've worked with Zach before, but listeners, now that you've heard it, please erase Zach's name from your memory. Do not think about him anymore. Just call me. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, I had to throw that in there. So anyway, we got some good questions for you, and I'm sure you're going to have some better answers. So what is the goal of the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit organization founded by a number of community residents in the community around Lake Pepin that noticed the filling in of Lake Pepin, and they said, is there anything we can do about this? So really, our goal is to represent the communities all around the lake, both on the Wisconsin and the Minnesota side, and try and essentially keep the status quo and then make some improvements. So when I say the status quo, what I mean is recreational boating is a big component of why people come to Lake Pepin and why people live around Lake Pepin. And then, of course, fishing and birding. And so we don't want to lose any of those features that make Lake Pepin so wonderful. But we've already seen a lot of degradation occur, specifically habitat. We've lost a lot of waterfowl that used to come to the area because there isn't the type of vegetation that used to exist when you had clearer water. So we want to improve the habitat and the ecosystem of Lake Pepin, and then we also want to maintain its functionality for all of the communities around the lake.
So I know earlier you had you talked about the pollution sources and this and that. Have you identified some of the pollution sources, and what type of pollutions are we talking about? Is it garbage? Is it waste runoff?
Yeah, so Lake Pepin is a very well-studied lake as a part of the Mississippi River because, as I mentioned, it's sort of this sediment trap, essentially, for a lot of the pollution from, really more than half of the state of Minnesota drains into Lake Pepin, ultimately. So it's been studied by pretty much every agency you can think of. Most of the pollution that is creating impairments on the water, it's sediment coming from the Minnesota River. And so 80 to 90% of the sediment that comes into Lake Pepin originates somewhere in the Minnesota River basin. And part of that is because the Minnesota River is a young river, so it's kind of naturally eroding and hasn't really reached that equilibrium point yet. And so as that process occurs, you're going to just see a lot of sediment coming down. And then, of course, human practices can accelerate that process of erosion. So that's a big issue that we want to work on. And then phosphorus is another issue that creates algae blooms, which can be toxic, and that also impairs the water quality in the river.
And phosphorus you're talking now, mainly that's fertilizers and maybe waste runoff from
Yeah, the Minnesota River is... It's mostly agricultural land, so you're really dealing with fertilizers running off and then making their way down to Lake Pepin. The wastewater treatment plants have actually done a really great job of reducing the amount of phosphorus that they process, I think, by 70 or 80%. So mostly now it's coming from ag fields.
And I believe now that the DNR is requiring them to, they can only have such a level of phosphorus on their discharge of the water, which it's been really helpful from what I've been told.
Yeah, it's definitely made some improvements. Unfortunately, agriculture is exempt from the Clean Water Rule, so unless you're looking at voluntary measures or economic incentives through grants, it's difficult to make widespread changes in that aspect.
And that's the big thing, yeah. And changes aren't going to happen fast. And for something to be successful, and I kind of get... Being a private business owner, I can understand how the farmers, you know, they're not going to be able to take and change things overnight. It's going to have to be implemented over a long period of time. And hopefully they can eventually come up with, you know, solutions that will not only benefit them but benefit everybody else that's using the Lake Pepin area.
Definitely. And one of our goals as an organization is to work collaboratively with the ag community. We definitely understand that these are people running businesses, essentially, and some of the changes to clean up water quality are very costly, especially for the smaller family farms. So we're trying to find these, you know, where do we have common ground and how can we find solutions that are going to be sustainable for the ag community and also improve water quality? And it's a big challenge. And I think that's one of the reasons we've started to shift our focus more towards local restoration to try and work on a project that could last 50 years and give us a little bit more time to work on some of the upstream issues.
Right.
Why does Lake Pepin need to be protected?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if you think about, so I mentioned sediment, and if you think about a full city block raised to the height of the Fauché Tower in downtown Minneapolis, that is the amount of sediment that's accumulating in Lake Pepin every single year.
Wow.
So it's about 1 million metric tons of sediment. And that's, I mean, it's just a huge amount. It's almost hard to conceptualize that much material coming in and settling. And Lake Pepin opens up. It's the widest stretch of the Mississippi River, and so the flow slows down when you get to Lake Pepin, which is why it's sort of a unique body of water on the river, in that when the flow slows down, everything just drops out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things that are impacted. One, I mentioned recreational boating. There's a number, Bay City on the Wisconsin side, and then Red Wing on the Minnesota side, and a little bit further downstream from Red Wing. Sometimes boats are stuck in the harbor because they can't access the lake, especially when there's lower water. You might have 6 inches of depth or a foot of depth, and then you're not able to access the lake. So definitely, you know, the economics of the community are affected when recreational users can't use the water anymore. And then from the habitat standpoint, you have all of that sediment getting resuspended by wind, wave, boats, and that prevents sunlight from penetrating the water, and so you see a loss of aquatic vegetation,
sure.
And then that affects the whole ecosystem.
And I'm thinking, too, once a boat is grounded, there's probably some potential of the oil fluids leaking out and then the contamination of the water that way, too?
You know, I don't have any numbers on that, so it's hard to say, but that seems like a reasonable thing to think about, whether or not there would be contamination.
Yeah, because you think that would happen if some running gear came off or something like that. And there's a cost to the boater.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
If they don't have that insurance to take care of that, because I know it's their responsibility to have it covered.
Right. And from what I've heard, that's in the tens of thousands of dollars if they need assistance getting their boat freed.
Exactly,
yeah,
it is.
I can attest to that. being some of the low times, low waters on the St. Croix, our grounding fee to go out and rescue someone from a grounding, it starts at $500 and goes up from there. And it shocks a lot of people when they think, well, geez, $500. You have to think the equipment to go out to get a boat that's on a grounded, you know, what I would consider hard grounding, it's costly. So, out of pocket, it can be very costly.
Yeah, it can. We've seen it happen, and the injuries that can be caused, you know, if you're going along and you think you're not going to hit anything and you're going 30 miles an hour, there's a potential for some major injuries happening from that, too.
Yeah, so. Safety, that's our number one thing. And that did happen here the year before last. We had a boat that was out competition for John once again. They were out showing it. And they hit hard, and they were injured. There were three people on board. One person, I believe, broke an arm, and the other had cuts on their face. So it's not only bad for the environment, it's bad for humans if you're boating and you hit something.
For
so
sure.
it's not a safe thing.
So let me ask you this. Is sedimentation a normal process?
Yeah. So I mentioned the Minnesota River Basin. It's a young river. So a lot of erosion is going to take place until the river sort of reaches an equilibrium point. And how long that's going to take, I'm not sure. But then the amount of sediment that's coming into Lake Pepin has increased about 10 times what we would consider the natural rate of filling in. So I think it was about 12,000 years ago, Lake Pepin actually extended all the way up to St. Paul. And it's slowly been filling in over time. But
are you talking about Glacial Lake Agassiz or Warren?
Yeah. So that's the Minnesota River Basin. And as that fills in, it kind of creates island complexes and changes the way that the river is very dynamic. So, of course, it's going to be changing over time. The issue with sedimentation is that it's accelerated at a rate that prevents essentially the ecosystem from keeping up with it. And so Lake Pepin, if there was just natural rates of erosion occurring, would last about another 4,000 years. And currently, with the amount of sediment coming in, it's expected to last only about 340 years. And that's a huge change in the lifespan of the lake based on this accelerated rate of erosion. The head of the lake is expected to be totally filled in by the end of this century. And a lot of times, these processes of change in a natural system they take much longer than what anyone would see in their lifespan. Whereas now, you have people who live in some of the local communities around the lake that have seen the backwaters go from 15 feet to a couple of feet within a 20-25 year period. So, yes, it's a natural process, but it's accelerated so much that really the ecosystem can't change fast enough to make up that time.
Now, earlier you had mentioned that roughly half the water that drains out of Minnesota drains into Lake Pepin. So is the sediment filling in the Lake Pepin, is that like an accumulative thing, or is there some areas that are eroding faster that are identifiable where, you know, this is a problem area here?
Yep. So the Minnesota River Basin is about a third of the drainage area coming into Lake Pepin, contributing 80 to 90% of the sediment. And then within the Minnesota River Basin, around the Mankato area, you have a lot of bluffs and ravines. I don't know if you've ever been to that area, you can see 80-foot bluffs all along the riverbed. And so that area, the two watersheds right around Mankato, contribute 50% of the sediment to the Minnesota River. So if you were to prioritize any areas, those are the areas that just massively contribute to the problem. But it's also really expensive to try and stabilize a bluff or any big ravines. So ultimately, water storage is the best way to try and reduce the amount of erosion. And if you think about an 80-foot bluff and you have low water flowing through the river, some erosion is going to occur. But if you have a huge rain event, and we've seen definitely changes in precipitation patterns over the past number of years, and then tile drainage just kind of essentially channeling the water into the river, you have a lot more water in the system at one time. That's accelerating the erosion process.
Now, when you say, go back a little bit, you say that it's going to be blocked or stopped in so many hundreds of years. What does that mean? The river's going to continue to flow. Where is the river going to go?
When you're talking about the head of Lake Pepin?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the navigational channel will still be there. The Corps of Engineers is charged with maintaining a 9-foot deep navigation channel for commercial shipping. So what we kind of imagine is that Lake Pepin will turn into a navigational ditch just surrounded by marshy water.
Oh, okay.
Not really suitable for recreation, but you know, the Corps will still need to have a channel for shipping.
Yep.
Okay.
I think we are coming up upon our first break here, our first and only break. I think we should stay tuned here, and we'll be back with more information on the
Lake Pepin.
Lake Pepin something alliance. Come on.
Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance.
That's better. You know, I got to have someone help me out here. I appreciate the help. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And this is Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. If you are thinking about getting out on the water in a nice used boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you are looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else, and with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com. Welcome back to the second half of Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. We are a show about boating on the water. Isn't that strange? And marinas and boat sales. And I am at TetzloffYachtSales.com, 651-214-9463, 575 Main Street North, right downtown, beautiful Stillwater, Minnesota. We're currently in the beautiful KLBB studios. here in downtown Stillwater.
Yeah, and I'm Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We're located 1 mile north of that beautiful downtown Stillwater. Just a short walk into town on the new beautiful Browns Creek Trail. If you haven't had a chance to get out on it, I highly recommend it. It's a great place to go for a stroll, walk. I do some biking and rollerblading on it, and I thoroughly enjoy it. It's right off our a block away from our building. So when you come into town on your boat, it's one short walk into beautiful downtown Stillwater. And again, we are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96. And we are at 24.5, St. Croix mile marker 24.5. So get in your boat when it's summer here. Not now, because it's a little hard water out there right now. But this spring, I'd love to see you up at our place. So get in the boat, come on up and join us.
And I have to tell you, I am at mile marker zero of that that new bike running and jogging path there. So 9.8 feet from my office is mile marker zero, just to let you know. Anyway, we have our great guest here, Riley Main, and she is talking about Lake Pepin and the issues that are facing boaters and everybody, actually. It concerns everybody. And we're going to continue on with some more questions here. So is there anything that we can do or that can be done to improve conditions?
Yeah, so, I mean, working upstream is the best way to try and improve the longevity of the lake. And I mentioned water storage as being one of the biggest components from a cost-effective standpoint in terms of reducing the amount of sediment that's flowing into Lake Pepin every year.
Now, you mentioned water storage before. What does water storage mean?
Yeah, so a lot of farmers have installed tile drainage on their land, and instead of allowing the water during a rain event to kind of settle on the land, maybe be stored in pools for a period of time and slowly drain, it's basically being funneled directly into the river system itself. And so when you have naturally erosive areas that with, a greater force coming through when there's a lot of water at one time, you're going to see more erosion. So whether that's restoring a wetland or installing some control structures within your tile drainage, essentially to hold the water back for a longer period of time so that you don't have big flushes coming through the system at once.
And I think even on the St. Croix here, we have really seen vast differences in the last few years on whenever it rains. The old theory was every inch of rain you would get, the water would come up a foot. Trust me, it seems like it's twice that now within the last 10 years. And I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't seem normal to me.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of work being done to try and figure out why that is happening. And I think it's different in every area of the state. But I know that, you know, we've lost 90% of our wetlands in Minnesota, and then most farms now are installing tile drainage because it helps with productivity, but that's going to change our hydrology significantly.
Okay, and you were kind of going on what you can do to improve conditions.
Yeah, so water storage is the main thing upstream, but then it's a long process, you know, trying to get people to retrofit their tile drainage. That's not a overnight fix that everybody's going to implement tomorrow. So we're looking at what we can do locally. And part of that, or at least one major thing we can do, is try and work with the Corps of Engineers and then both the Minnesota and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on a big restoration project. So we've been working on this for about 3 years now. And we have federal funding, I think it's up to about $400,000 to do a feasibility study. So essentially what that is we're looking at all of these alternative features that could be constructed to try and improve conditions at the head of the lake. One of those components of the project would be to dredge out some of the backwaters that have filled in over time. So I mentioned, you know, some of the backwaters are 6 inches to a foot deep now. We want to get them back to 5 or 6 feet deep, and that's going to improve habitat for fish overwintering in the winter, and then it's also going to improve recreational access. And then the other component is that if you're dredging out those areas, you don't want them to fill right back in with sediment over the next couple of years. So constructing islands in a manner that would keep those areas protected and redirect where the sediment accumulates will help to maintain quality water and depth in those areas and essentially allow for, I guess, a more diversified ecosystem in terms of habitat. And then other components are like floodplain forest restoration, maybe some isolated wetlands. So really the ultimate goal of the project is to improve habitat in the area, and that's where the funding would come from.
And hopefully you're not going to mention wing dams.
No.
Wing dams are, I think every boater on any river hates the two words wing dams.
No, that is not a part of our project.
That's old technology, right? Like 100 years old or something. But anyway, so how will restoration project improve boat safety and recreation?
Yep. So obviously, increasing the depth will help to improve recreational access, particularly at the head of the lake, where many of the communities have lost access. But then the other piece, and I wish I had a map to show you this, but essentially when you're coming down the main channel into Lake Pepin, once you get a little bit further beyond the island complexes, it opens up and there's deep water and you can kind of go wherever you want. But when you're heading back upstream, you have to figure out what the right point is to get back into the channel. Otherwise, you might go from 20 feet to a couple of feet, and that's where a lot of the boat groundings happen. So if we could extend one of those islands further downstream until you get to the point where there's deeper water, it helps really guide boats back into the channel, and that would help improve boat safety because they know where they should be going and they can avoid that shallow water.
And then markers. I know off air we had talked about markers a little bit. Obviously, there's just not enough of them.
Yeah, that's an ongoing problem. The Corps, well, actually, it might be the Coast Guard that actually sets the buoys, but then when the barges come through, they displace them sometimes, and, no one's going back out there to fix them. So certainly when you're dealing with a tricky area on the river and then you have buoys out of place, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
Go slow. Safety. That's always a good speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. When in doubt, you always go slow.
So how does it improve the ecosystem?
Yeah, so I mentioned the deeper water helps improve habitat for fish that overwinter in the area. And then the islands keep that water clear, so it prevents the wind from resuspending the sediment. And so the expectation is that you'll see improvements in aquatic vegetation, and that's going to bring waterfowl back to the area. And then we'll also be improving floodplain forest and terrestrial habitat.
Okay, I've got one quick question here for you before we end our questions here. What can individuals do to support a healthy ecosystem and recreational destination in Lake Pepin?
Yeah, well, two things, really. We would love to see more political support around this restoration project, so contacting your local representatives to let them know that this is something you'd support and want to see happen in the area. And the other thing would be that we would love to have more members of our organization. This is about a $10 million project that we're working on, and so we really need ongoing operational support and through our membership numbers that translates to political support to see this project happen.
And hopefully some of our politicians are listening, because there is quite a bit of tax revenue generated by tax on gas for boats, and most of that goes in either the general fund or right to the highway transportation. It does not go towards the what I would like to say is the boating highway, which is, our rivers and lakes. So I'd like to see more money funneled from our maybe our fuel revenues from the marinas and so on and so forth, directed right towards the boating infrastructure. I think that would be really important.
For sure. Well, we're coming to the end, and I think this was a great show, great information. Lake Pepin is definitely something that we need to be aware of, the issues there, and we'd like to thank Riley Main for coming in and talking about that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
We just want to mention here that the boat show is coming up here, and we're going to be at booth 78. Tetzloff Yacht Sales is going to be at booth 78.
I think the boat show is going to start on January 11th, and I believe it goes through the 14th. Is that right?
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to be in booth 1425, so I expect everybody listening to come visit me and say hello and say, hey, been listening to the radio show, really enjoy it, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, it is a great time to chit-chat with everybody, and we do have a lot of people that come and actually buy boats through the winter. I just closed on three boats here this month, totaling 140 feet. So some new, nice new boats going to some new owners, so that's great. Again, this is Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Thanks for listening.